Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the program on this Monday, March 23rd, 2014. It's March 24th. I'm off a day, of course. Anyway, yesterday was yesterday, and it was a huge day for the Wildcats. So the Buckmaster Show live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We'll get things rolling this newly minted Monday afternoon with commentators Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash. They will be front and center for this week's political face-off. Then we'll talk with David Safir, who blogs primarily about education. We'll be talking with him. He blogs at Tucson Weekly. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we do kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring our team of commentators, and this week it is Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is now in his third term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Jeff Rogers, prominent local attorney and former chair of the Democrat Party in Pima County. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I spent some time with Moe and his fine family over the weekend, and they want me to certainly do a big shout-out to all the Buckmaster Show listeners. They really appreciate the support that they get from this show. Moe and family, specializing since 1985 in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. I had a particular job for Moe, required some very meticulous kind of framing, and they're going to handle it without any problem. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bruce and Jeff, I know you're both huge basketball fans, so you're still kind of walking on air right now. Jeff Rogers?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the Wildcats really put the hurt on their opponent yesterday. It was a kind of fun game to watch, a little bit of a dunkathon, the steals, the up and down the court. It's just, if that team shows up as opposed to the team that showed up on Friday, we should win every one of the next four games. But that's a big if, because we saw Friday that they didn't perform nearly that well.
And Bruce, you were at the arena. It was like a home game, huh?
Yeah, it was a home game atmosphere for all intents and purposes. This was a great U of A team. Actually, that showed up both days, and they were very, very different games. They didn't fall asleep in the Sunday night game as they did for a while against Weber State. Weber State actually wasn't bad. They had some talented players. They couldn't keep up with us. I was very surprised because Gonzaga does have some good guards, the 11 and 4, Stockton and the other fellow's name, which I can never
pronounce. Pangos. Pangos kind of came up a little lame early in the game.
Yeah, and it was amazing. Those guards just could not keep up with our guys. And statistically, last night's game was very odd, because normally when the U of A loses a rebounding thing, we lose the game, or we're not very competitive. Steals, blocks, that's what really change game, and they shot free throws.
Really well.
Yeah, they shot about 53%. I think Gonzaga was around 41%. Great defense. They have to play defense. If they play defense the rest of the tournament, they could go deep.
And they play San Diego State.
Yes, San Diego State, and it's in Anaheim. I'm sure there's going to be some San Diego State fans there.
Yep. Independent voters, now the biggest bloc in Arizona. By the way, the live line number is open for you, 790-2040, anytime during the show, during the hour that you would like to make a comment or question, we would welcome you to call in. Independent voters now are in the majority in Arizona. I believe that's only the case in Massachusetts and Alaska, and now Arizona. Does this make a big difference, Jeff Rogers, in strategizing for Democrats?
I don't think so. I think what we're seeing at our polling data is showing that one of the main reasons for this switch to independents is young new voters are less inclined to adopt the party of their parents and grandparents, whatever that party is. And so the all new registrants are tilting way towards the independents. And I think in a growth state like Arizona, where a lot of people are coming into the state, you're also seeing maybe some older voters who arrive here and they don't adopt what used to be their party. But I think think that the big takeaway from this is, as we saw in California in their top two system that they adopted, is that independents still just do not participate. And those that do are really not that independent. They tend to fall into leaning Democrat or leaning Republican almost all the time. There's really only a small cadre of the independents who actually vote, maybe 10 to 20% who are perhaps influenceable by either of the parties.
And they can vote in the partisan primary of their choice, and they've been allowed to do that since 1998. But you're right, the number...
Don't show up?
Yeah, I mean, it's 10%, Bruce Ash. It's very few show up.
Yeah, I think it's always a problem when you make voting too easy. Whether it's mail-in voting or, you know, hey, you can show up and register the day of the vote, as exists in some states. I agree with most everything Jeff just said in terms of leanings and origins of the move to independent registration. In fact, you know, when I look back at my own history, I registered as an independent at the Lighthouse YMCA high school senior year when I turned 18. And I stayed an independent, I think, probably until the 90s, I think is when I finally, I mean, I'd been voting Republican and, you know.
Were your parents Republican?
No, my parents were both Democrats, and they voted Republican probably in most every election after 1960.
Hmm.
Although I'm not sure that they can say with me that I voted for Richard Nixon twice.
Jeff, were your parents Democrats?
My parents were Democrats. My grandfather was even a state legislator, and for the Democrats in Indiana. And I have an uncle who is a state senator. So we have a long, long history and tradition of Democrat Party politics in my family, including attendance at conventions and other kind of grassroots things.
Well. And if I just add,
sure.
Whatever the party leanings might be, I mean, this has been a trend that's been going on for some period of time here in Arizona. And I agree with Jeff. It reflects, you know, some of the demographics, some of the migration that's existed. And I think probably also similar to Massachusetts, where there's a certain independent sort, and I don't mean that in the registration part, just
right.
an independent thinking sort of a mindset that exists with a lot of folks. And you know, in Arizona, unlike Massachusetts, most of the independents who do vote, and again, I agree with Jeff, they largely sit it out, they seem to vote toward the right-hand side because we are largely, you know, governed by Republicans here in the state.
Yeah, and I think Bruce is right for now, but the trend is going the other way, and that's because when we look at turnout, what helps Democrats win are Latinos, young voters, single women, and those are the ones that are trending towards Democrats. And if we could get the kind of turnout that we have in presidential years in this state, then we can probably win the governorship and many of the down ballot statewide races. The problem we have is that these statewide races, including the governor's race, are in an off-year election, and that really hurts us because those groups tend to turn out far less. And yet, on the other hand, the Republicans tend to be, you know, older, you know, less minorities and less mobile, so they keep their registrations intact, and they have a much better turnout. And that's turnout is where we've been getting whipped in these off-year elections, and that's, you know, the big challenge for us this year.
The other factor in this 2014 election, I think, is going to be the sixth year of a two-term president. There's a lot of dissatisfaction, whether it be with people's pocketbooks or Obamacare or national security or, you know, whatever it is. You get to the sixth year, you know, the thrill is starting to run its course a little bit, and that does affect down-ballot races.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the sixth year of a two-year presidency has historically, over the last 60, 70, 80 years, been really, really rough for the party and power.
It's not just Democrats, it's Republicans too.
Across the board, and there's only one exception to that rule, and that was Bill Clinton in his sixth year. And, you know, in many ways, the exception proves the rule because it was rare.
And actually, Bill Clinton, I think, you know, irrespective of the problems that he had, you know, in a few different areas, Bill Clinton's probably going to go down as one of the greatest presidents in terms of actually getting stuff done. And we talk a lot about, you know, the do-nothing Congress, whether it was Harry Truman or Barack Obama who talks about that. Bill Clinton figured out a way, being a governor,
yeah.
Knowing that, you know, he had to execute on his performance was being based on that. And he managed to do that in all but really a couple of years of his presidency.
Yeah, and the economy, you know, was booming in the sixth year of his presidency.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You just had to look at that and go, well, you know, you want more of this? Yeah, and that's kind of...
Yeah.
And right now... The economy is improving, but it's been a long, steady, slow incline, and so people are, you know, they're not ready to say it's booming, and it well may not be booming by November.
Jeff Rogers is here, and Bruce Ash. What does this mean for in the primaries, Bruce? You've got then a very small group of people who are deciding the candidates for the Republicans.
No, because independents can vote.
Yeah, but
on
they
side.
Don't. But they don't.
Well,
they rarely do.
Look, primaries are always a very exclusive affair. Not too many. I think, 22 to 25%, Jeff? Generally, that's the pattern. You know, maybe a little more in hotly contested primaries, but it's lower than 30%.
Well, I think that what Bill's alluding to here is how, you know, the most extreme elements of the Democrat and Republican Party tend to be the ones that vote in primaries. Now, we've done a pretty good job of tamping down the more extreme elements of our party and trying to bring in as moderate of candidates as we can. I'm not sure we're always going to be able to say that. And the Republicans used to be able to do that, too. But as we've seen the sort of Tea Party element of the Republican Party emerge, that is, you know, we're getting a more extreme element of sort of what I would call not really even business-friendly candidates that are emerging in many of these races. And there's been some interesting articles. I think we talked last week a little bit about one of these articles that really blamed clean elections, that you don't get people like Al Melvin if you don't have clean elections, because the business community, the people like Bruce Ash and Jim Click, you know, they're going to support a more moderate business-friendly kind of candidate that they think is not going to, mm-hmm. you know, throw egg on the face of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And so,
I did support Al Melvin, and I will support him.
Are you supporting him for governor?
Well, no. I'm not supporting anybody in the primary, but if Al was to run again for the legislature, I would support him there. At the end of the day, I was going to ask you about Raul Grijalva, if he was a moderating force within the Democratic Party. I kind of doubt if he is. I mean, talk about somebody who embarrassed Democrats and gave Arizona a bad name. But look, I think that what we're seeing in the Republican Party, Jeff and Bill, has to do a lot about this being a Big Ten party. Mm-hmm. There is room for a Russell Pierce the same way that there is for a guy like Worsley. There's a room for Steve Pierce, just as there's a room for David Gowan. And, you know, there's going to be some competing forces, and that's going to happen. And, you know, the best man or best woman's going to win.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers with us. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service, either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on March 24th on this Monday afternoon, brought to you the political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We have Bruce Ash with us and Jeff Rogers for today's political face-off. Very interesting piece, very flattering for Republicans, Bruce, in the Financial Times basically saying, for the time being, anyway, today is going to go very well for Republicans. And they point out that veteran forecaster Charlie Cook now gives Republicans better than a 50-50 odds that they will control both chambers of the legislature for the rest of Mr. Obama's term. Things are looking pretty good.
You know, believe when I see it. We've always figured out ways to screw up elections. the key really, though, I think is candidate discipline. is message discipline. When our candidates get off message, when they kind of act out of the mainstream, and
start talking about things like legitimate rape and those kinds.
Well, whatever whatever those things are, and we've seen some things that have happened in the past. I mean, look, I don't think Republicans have anything to be ashamed about in the positions that they have. But let's look at what the issues are in the election. Okay, it's about the jobs and economy. It's about Obamacare. It's about what direction and confidence in your government and privacy issues. I mean, you know, we all kind of know what they are. And in the reliable Democrat states, there are going to be reliable Democrats that are reelected. And in reliable Republican states, the same thing. There probably really are only three toss-up states right now: Alaska, Louisiana, and North Carolina. I think legitimately Begich is in deep trouble, irregardless of who the Republican candidate is. But it'll probably be Mead Treadwell, I suspect. Kay Hagan is in serious danger. But, you know, I mean, that's one I don't feel quite as confident about just because of her popularity, you know, has always been so strong. And in Louisiana, I think that Mary Landrieu, barring some sort of unusual electoral problems, counting the votes, is probably out of office as well. She was really infamous with respect to her vote on Obamacare and doesn't seem to be able to make up her mind on a bunch of different energy things, which are important to Louisianans.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're in a position where we're defending a lot of seats. Remember, and this was 6 years ago, which was when Obama was elected, and we won a lot of red states that we otherwise would not usually win. And so we've got some and we're also defending a lot more seats than the Republicans are. So we've got a bit of a problem right now, and those three states are going to be the important states that Bruce mentioned, because those are going to be swing type states, and I feel a little more confident than Bruce points out there in all three of those states, and it's way too soon to call them. Yeah. But then we've also got a couple states that the Democrats could pick up a Republican seat. Georgia's one of them, and it depends upon what nominee the Republicans pick. If they pick one of those, and as Bruce was talking about messaging and candidate discipline, we saw in Indiana particularly how the Republicans just lost control of their candidate and lost control of the message and lost a seat that they should have won in the last cycle. And I think Georgia and Kentucky represent two states that the Republicans ought to win, but where there's some risk right now. I mean, McConnell is very unpopular, and he's going to win his primary. I don't have any doubts about that. But this Alison Lundgren Grimes is a very, very charming candidate, very charismatic, very popular, and comes from a very popular Democratic candidate. But it's still a bit of an uphill climb for us to take Kentucky, and it depends a lot upon who the nominee of the Republicans will be in Georgia. If they nominate someone very extreme, and there are a couple of Tea Party type extremists that could come down the middle and win the nomination there, then Sam Nunn's daughter represents a wonderful pickup opportunity. So there's a lot of pieces in play here. I was have to say that the Democrats have a challenging landscape in front of them right now to hold on to the Senate. Now, if we were to lose the Senate by a vote or two, we would stand to pick it right back up, because the Republicans are in this position we're in 2016. They'll be defending far more seats.
I was just going to say that the Republicans are energized over Obamacare, and it's very difficult, I would think, for the Jeff to get the Democrats excited.
Well, I think it's too soon to say about that. We've introduced some plans to really mobilize the voters that we need. The voters that we need, and we know who they are. They're the ones that show up in a presidential year but don't show up in these off-year elections. Mm-hmm. They're single women. They're young people. They're Hispanic and Latino voters. And many of them are very young. They move around. It's hard to keep their registration intact. And we know what our challenges are. It's just a matter of whether or not we can meet those challenges.
Now, well, Bruce Ash.
Yeah, sure. You know, we look at Arkansas, where Mark Pryor is running against a young insurgent with Tom Cotton, and Cotton making a lot of big gains. That is a leans a Republican state. Same thing in Montana, where Daines is running for that position against Walsh, who's a newly appointed U.S. senator. That's a special election. South Carolina, leaning Democrat as well. Excuse me, leaning Democrat. leading Republican as well. And West Virginia, where Caputo Moore really has quite a bit of steam that she's building up in that open seat since Jay Rockefeller is retiring.
I think Bruce is right about those four states. Montana's a little closer and more interesting, and I don't think the polling data is quite as clear-cut there. But the other three, right now, if the election were held today, we lose those three seats. And probably the fourth one, which now means they only need to pick up two of the swing states that we talked about earlier to take control of the Senate.
Yeah, and there's sort of an interesting phenomenon with Scott Brown, and it looks like entering the New Hampshire race. A guy who's lived in New Hampshire, has had a residence there for a long time, very popular, and Scott is not going to be a guy that I'm going to like a lot of his votes, but in that neck of the woods, he will be very popular and is running the same kind of real insurgency campaign. He's traveling the state in his pickup truck with his wife, and it's really kind of nice to see, you know, that down home.
Yeah, the New Hampshire folks are not going to vote for a guy who just lost in Massachusetts.
Most people who live in New Hampshire came from Massachusetts, Jeff.
I don't see that one happening. That one's a stretch.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Jeff Rogers, thanks again for coming in. Appreciate it. And Bruce, always a pleasure. Thanks. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of Metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
Please join us for our special program, Discovery Nights, during March at Biosphere 2. On selected Saturdays in March, Discovery Nights will offer extended hours with family-friendly stargazing and nighttime tours under the beautiful lights of the University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Also, new exhibit previews just being opened to the public for the first time. Visit b2science.org for more information and come visit today. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. Once a month, we welcome to the Buckmaster Show our blogger beat contributor, David Safir. David works for Tucson Weekly, writing, blogging primarily about education, but there's really no subjects that are kind of off limits that he won't.
Whatever moves me. I was told that I can write whatever I
there
wish. And so far, nobody has told me that I can't write about
there
that.
So go.
I'll keep doing what I'm doing.
All right. But you do prefer to write about education.
Well,
it is your
best.
Background. And you had a long career as an educator, I believe, in the Portland area, right?
Right. A suburb area, Milwaukee, Clackamas area, about 10 miles outside of Portland. Taught there for 30 plus years.
David, how are you? First of all, it's great to have you back.
I am doing great. Thank
Good.
You.
Arizona Capital Times, there is an open letter to Arizona from school superintendents. Apparently, this is about 230 public school district superintendents have put together this letter to the Capital Times, and these are public education officials who are very concerned about the move away from public education to privatization of education in Arizona.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm very pleased to see them, see them actually speaking out well, because usually they're very moderate and they're afraid to shake the hornet's nest. They don't want to alienate anyone. And the move here is very, very, very assertive. Here's one thing they said. Recent advocacy efforts by elected officials to grow the privatization of education in Arizona compel us to speak out. Now, they haven't been speaking out like that as clearly. They've tried to stay away from this. But, you know, you can't play beanbag in this privatization movement. I'll give you one example. The Walton Foundation. It's the Walton family. They're the ones who own the Walmart companies.
Mm-hmm.
Spend
mm-hmm.
huge amounts of money every year on lots of issues. They spend $160 million a year on school privatization and quote-unquote school choice and education reform issues. If someone's spending that kind of money, including $1 million, just going to the Arizona Charter School Association, these superintendents have got to speak up. So they're starting to call it an attack on public education, which is, I think, is great. They're talking about the dismantling of our local public schools and saying these things that are absolutely true, but they've stayed away from for years. And now
they have stayed away from it. And, David, that's why this letter, I believe, is so significant coming out. And it's been talked about on shows like this and
mm-hmm.
other shows that there is this war on public education. And I think this letter shows how troubled these superintendents are about the direction.
Absolutely. They know what's happening. And I don't know how many people out there read The Star regularly and read David Fitzsimmons, but he's been big on this. And on either Saturday or Sunday, he had an absolutely spot-on cartoon where he showed a public school or public education full of all kinds of bricks and had elephants in hard hats taking away brick by brick by brick and putting them into a building that they were making called private education. And that's the dismantling. And I really like that word because it's actually taking apart a whole structure, one piece here, one piece there, and dismantling it. It's very troubling.
Another thing that's pointed out in the letter, and I'll read just a sentence or two more, David, from this. It appears, this is from the superintendents, It appears that the goal of the current education reform movement is to move designated tax money out of the public sector and transfer it into private hands. This transfer of funds, known as the Empowerment Scholarship Accounts, ESAs, vouchers, or tax credits, is designed to subsidize students to attend private schools rather than using these desperately needed funds for public schools.
Yeah, this is a bill that passed, I believe, in 2011. And every year since then, they've added more and more students to this voucher program, which is not just for private schools, but homeschoolers will get money too. It's a very insidious program. And in its current incarnation, if it passes the legislature, as many as half of the students in Arizona could be eligible. And that number will go up incrementally year by year by year until they do what they are very honest about. They want every student to be eligible for vouchers. And every one of those is thousands of dollars of that student taking out of public schools, moving to private schools, and it will be part of that dismantling and to some extent destruction of this great democratic model that we created, a Jeffersonian model, as the superintendents pointed out, that we created. Now we're saying, well, we've had enough of it. We'd rather go with some private enterprise version of education that simply will not work for a vast majority of students.
790-2040, 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. And we're going to be going now to Jim. And Jim wants to disagree with Hello, Jim.
Yeah. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yes, I do want to disagree. Our public school system model is not Jeffersonian in any way, shape, or form. It was developed by Dewey, for goodness sakes. And secondly, it's a system that is no longer serving the modern problem. Public education has defunded itself with its poor performance. Per pupil student spending has gone up, and performance has remained flat or gone down. They've done it to themselves. So if I've got a kid, I'm not going to send him into this public morass that isn't working. I'm going to do what works. But by the same token, my child still has a right to the state funding his education. So what am I going to do? I'm going to use vouchers. It's just that simple, guys. The voucher system isn't destroying it. It's just defunding a very bad, bad model that does not work anymore. We've got, partly Industrial Revolution style, partly still on agricultural calendars that don't even exist in 90% of America. Well, that's got to change, and this is going to change it.
Well, those are lovely concepts, and you stated something very eloquently, but we've got to look at the numbers. The numbers say that since 1970, all students are achieving better based on a standard test, the NAEP test. It's been given since then, and conservatives and liberals believe is a gold standard of testing. It says that we've closed the gap between minorities and Anglos. A study out of the George Bush administration's education department said that when you look at head-to-head students in private schools, in charter schools, and in district schools, there's not a dime's worth of difference in achievement. So you can talk about all kinds of things about Industrial Revolution and a wrong model, but if the public schools are getting it wrong, they're doing better than they used to, and they're not getting it any more wrong than the other schools. We can compare the public schools against a utopian model, at which time they're not going to match up, but if you compare them against the real world, they're doing fine and improving.
790-2040. Matthew wants to join in the conversation. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I agree with David, and I strongly disagree with Jim. I appreciate that, very simplistically, it sounds good. I went to private school. My parents paid for it, and they did not expect the public to subsidize my ability to go to private school. I was fortunate. But I know that if you simply transfer public funds to private schools, first of all, the real private schools, the ones that really serve a very specific community, will simply, that's not going to affect them one bit. They're going to, $6,500 is not going to pay for a private school. In fact, all it'll do is cost force them to have to increase the tuition cost to basically, you know, account for that money floating out there. In truth, you'll have every fly-by-night organization open up schools all over the state with no accountability for the funds, and people will be completely overwhelmed with sales pitches encouraging them to send their children there.
A quick response, Walter.
This one's Matthew.
Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew.
Walter's on hold. He'll be next.
Okay, Matthew, I'm sorry. The Washington, D.C. voucher program, which was started by Congress, since Congress controls Washington, D.C., had the most amazing fly-by-night schools you've ever heard of. These things were jaw-droppers, and in fact, they did nothing to improve student achievement. And you're right, all kinds of scam artists came in. They saw quick bucks. They could do it and get lots of money from the state comparatively and spend very little money on kids and make a killing. They did that. And that's the kind of thing that would happen if we had kind of a Wild West voucher private school movement.
All right, let's try to get Walter in before the break with David Safir. Walter, go ahead.
Hi, Walter. Hi, David. This is Walter. I just don't understand. I hear this argument time and time again, but I went through public school. My kids are in public school, and it just doesn't work. And we're at the bottom worldwide in these industrialized countries, and it just really seems to not work. So when you talk about being against going to private schools and vouchers, for people like me, the average person, lower middle class, sending his kids to these public schools that don't work, it doesn't make sense. Your argument doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying you're a bad person. It just sounds ridiculous. That's all.
Well, I defend your right to send your kids to private school, and that's fine. I like the fact that they're there. I have no problem with charter schools being there. But if our system is so bad and we fail so badly on international tests, why is it that Massachusetts ranks among the highest nations in the world in its achievement? Obviously, they don't have a different public school system. There are other things. There are lots and lots and lots of problems with public schools, but the problem isn't that there shouldn't be things addressed. It's that the potential solutions that have been suggested are smoke and mirrors, they're snake oil, they're scam artists who are coming in and trying to sell a load of goods to the American people that's very, very dangerous for our democracy and for the general improvement and progress of our education.
All right, 790-2040. Obviously, this has touched a nerve with a lot of people, and we can keep that going at 790-2040. David Safir will stick around for another segment as we talk about public education, and we will be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at ruggalleryaz.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
It's 12:50 now on this Monday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. This portion is brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They're going to try something new over in Silver City this weekend. It's this Saturday. It's a Brew Fest. The New Mexico Brewers Guild and the Little Toad Creek Brewery and Distillery will be hosting Silver City's first Brew Fest in downtown historic Silver City. Understand nearly 24 New Mexico breweries will be taking part. So if you like beer, this sounds like a great excuse to drive about three and a half hours, to Silver. If it was 3 miles, there'd be a lot of people going over. Three and a half hours to historic downtown Silver City. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org, and they have the full listing of places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch, and things to do. So check it out. David Safir is with us. David is our blogger beat contributor. He writes blogs for Tucson Weekly. We had a very spirited discussion in the first segment with David, talking about public education versus private education. And now let's talk a little bit about Common Core, David. And where are we on this Common Core? There was a move to dismantle it at the state legislature. That apparently is not going to happen.
Well, we're everywhere and nowhere. It's very interesting. There were a number of bills to dismantle it or not to fund the testing. And by the way, testing is starting either this week or soon, where they're going to field test the tests, in a sense, and see how people react to them, see whether they're timed right. They're going to be on computers to see how the kids score. So it's going to be checked out this week or next week. I don't want to say for sure exactly when, but that move in the legislature isn't going to go anywhere, because even if it passed both houses, and it could, a lot of Republicans are really against the Common Core right now. Governor Brewer would veto it. She loves the Common Core. So does John Hoopenthal. So does President Obama. So does the Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan. So does Bill Gates and his foundation. It's a real kind of a wide I hate to say middle, but from not terribly conservative to not terribly progressive group who are for it. But then on both sides, we know the right wing doesn't like it. Al Melvin doesn't like it. The only time I ever feel sorry for John Hoopenthal is when he gets on the road and gets yelled at the all these public forums he's been going to, where the right wingers have just been trashing him about Common Core. But
it is a myth to say that opposition to Common Core comes primarily from the Tea Party and white suburban moms.
Well, I don't know what the white suburban mom thing is. That's something that Arne Duncan said, and he had to eat those words
quickly.
Yeah,
this was something in the Washington Post. What I just said was one of what they call five myths about Common Core school standards.
I just went to a conference of a group called the Network for Public Education in Austin, Texas a few weeks ago, and everybody there was upset with the Common Core, but for very different reasons than Al Melvin and Glenn Beck and Michelle Malkin are upset with it. They have this feeling, and by the way, I've got a post that will soon be going up, but I don't think it's gone up yet, on The Range about this with a video that I did for the cable TV show I do once a month. And they are part of the, you know, it's a tinfoil hat thing, I think. They believe that these black education helicopters are hovering over us, and they're going to try to dull our students' minds so the socialist overlords can control them. It's very weird conspiracy stuff that I don't believe. But on my side, and obviously on my side, I don't think it's weird or strange. The concern is really over testing, not over the standards. Standards, I like the idea of standards. I like the idea of looking at them. I like the idea of discussing them, throwing out what doesn't work, improving what does work, and making it better. But when you get to the testing, like we had with AIMS, but the testing is more stringent, the testing is harder, the testing is more kind of written in stone, teachers don't dare question the standards. Principals don't dare question the standards. You can lose your job. Your school can be closed if you question the standards and you don't do well on what they say you have to do. So these standards, which should be talked about, they've never been tested in the classroom, really. They should be talked about. They should be worked on. People should discuss them. All of a sudden will become the standard, end of story. And that, along with the obsession with testing, is very, very worrisome. And a lot of people on the progressive side and some conservative moms who, by the way, there's an opt-out movement all over the country. And some suburban moms are part of it, but also some urban moms are part of it, and dads and educators, where in Washington there was one school where the teachers and administration said we're not going to give that test. In Chicago, the same thing's happening. So this is a broader movement than suburban moms, and it's very different from the movement on the right.
Well, yeah, and I've heard Robin Hiller on her show, The State of Education, talk to some of these teachers, I believe back east, who have said they will not teach just these, you know, the tests. They are opting out of the testing, the standardized testing.
And they're not doing it absolutely. Often they're in Chicago, I believe what they're doing is they're opting out of tests that don't count. They say, my God, we've got so many tests that you're going to ding us and the kids on if we do poorly. But here you're giving us tests that don't count. We don't have to give those two because so much time is being taken up. You know, it's interesting, Bill. Let me bring something up.
Sure.
Kyrsten Sinema, who tends to stay towards the middle. She's one of the representatives in the state, a Democratic representative from somewhere in the Phoenix area. I'm not sure exactly where. She is co-sponsoring a bill with a Republican, and the bill says, let's cut back on the amount of testing we do. And what they want to do is they want to do what used to be done, which is that you have one test per grade span. So amongst grade 3 to 6, there'll be one test during that time. 6 through 9, one test. 10 through 12, one test. Instead of test, test, test every year. Now, I think that is a wonderful idea. It might make the Common Core less tenable. I don't know. But it's a wonderful idea. And I applaud her for doing that. And I also applaud Representative Grijalva from down here, who is going along with what the Network for Public Education is saying, which is let's hold congressional hearings about standardized testing. In other words, let's put the tests to the test. The purpose of the test is collecting data. Fine, let's collect data on the tests and see if they're working. Are they helping kids achieve better? Or are they just saying, here are the winners and here are the losers? My sense is that it's the latter. There's no data I've seen that said the tests themselves have improved education, and I think it's to education's detriment more often.
Well, if you were to have a group of teachers here in Arizona who said at a particular school, we're not going to do the test, that school would be in big trouble.
They couldn't do it.
No, I mean, yeah, they'd lose funding and everything else.
But in fact, if you go on the opt-out, I can't remember what the whole name of the website is, but it's a website called opt-out something or another. They'll actually give you forms that allow parents, because parents can opt out. They can't; their children can't be made to take the tests. And it's very disruptive to do that. And if you think it's a good idea and a bunch of parents at a school get together and say, we will not allow our students to take these standardized tests, that's going to cause some difficulties, and that's the kind of movement that's growing around the country.
Okay, David Safir, we will look for your work on your blogs on Tucson Weekly and also on Facebook. Most of your stuff is all translates over to Facebook,
right?
So
if you want to like me or friend me or whatever it is, you can put that on, have those come to your Facebook page as well if you're a regular follower.
And we have lots of regular followers of Facebook. We're happy to say we're pushing toward 3,200 friends of the Buckmaster Show. So if you'd like to join us, we're easy to find. If you know my name and it's Bill Buckmaster, you can find us on Facebook. David, thank you very much.
Thanks,
and we'll look for your blogs on the Tucson Weekly. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show, bottled water on the program. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs, all of our in-studio guests get a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water, and all the employees here at KVOI also thank Culligan for supplying our water. Coming up tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, and then Christy Simone is his new talk show, 8 to 9 in the morning. It's Chris and a different co-host every day. The show is called The Daily Double. Rosemary Brandt, our ace producer, and myself will be back with you on The Buckmaster Show at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.